You know, no one expected what was going to come next. You see, Good Friday had finished the day that Jesus was crucified, taken down, laid in a tomb, finishes according to Matthew, and it's recorded in chapter 27 with these words, they rolled a stone over the tomb and they walked away. And those words have so often, I think, haunted me in a sense that even in their thinking, it was over. But it wasn't over. In fact, there was something happening that we will never fully understand until I feel like Jesus tells us what happened in those days in between. You know, the power of death, of darkness, of all of those things that held us captive was being stripped down, taken apart. The power of all of that was being defeated, done away with. That whole old order of things, that very selfishness that took Jesus to the cross, was being ripped of its power, torn apart, stripped. Death was being taken down, and newness was emerging. You see, no one fully understood what was coming. In fact, it says on the morning that they had finished with the Sabbath, the women came bearing spices and a whole load of perfumes to actually now take care of Jesus' body. Again, you see, in their thinking, it was over. But resurrection had happened. Resurrection, renewal, restoration, rebirth. You know, it was resurrection power that enabled Jesus' friends to go from that moment, from those following days, into the rest of their lives. You know, that's what I love about the resurrection of Jesus. That's what I love about Easter morning, is it is about life. And not just a moment that happened that is my key to eternity. No, it's all about the way I live life now. And I tell you what, there is nothing more relevant in these days that we're in than the knowledge of how to live in the abundance of life, regardless of the circumstances I find myself in. Again, I love the paradox of it. I love the paradox of life, struggle, abundance in the midst of suffering, because it doesn't just depend on the physicality of the circumstances I find myself in. It's this word Zoe, it's this Greek word that's used for life. It's like this essence, this thing that, this wellspring that comes up from within us. You can't cap it. You can't restrict it. You see, everything that was coming out of the death and darkness was about newness and life. Jesus came to give life. You see, he comes to his friends and they're actually living smaller probably than they've ever lived. They're living in timidity. They're living behind shuttered windows and barred doors and they're terrified. They don't know anything about Zoe in that moment. They don't know anything about life. They don't know what's been going on behind the scenes. They don't know that fear and death and everything else has been taken captive. To them, and it's still over. You know, what I love is that Jesus didn't just rise from the dead to give some new religious order to his friends, to you, to me. Jesus came to do away with that. And we love these constructs of religious order and ritual so we can sort of check how we're doing. That's how life had always been. But Jesus really came, and there's, I think, three things I want to just look at quickly that Jesus came to bring. He came to bring peace. He came to bring liberty. And he came to bring hope. You know, I don't always find that just doing ritual gives me peace, because I'm always wondering, have I done enough? Have I measured up enough? I don't always find it gives me a lot of liberty, because I've got to stick with the order of things and make sure I do it just right. I don't find that it really gives me hope, because I don't know if I've ever attained enough. Jesus didn't come for that. He came to set people free. He came to set you free, me free. You know, when I think about peace, and you know it, we can do with a good serving of it in the days we're in right now. Jesus seemed awfully concerned about people's peace. You know, when he comes to his disciples and, you know, they're troubled, the first thing he says, and I love it in the Gospel of John, it says on the evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were together, the doors locked out of fear. And Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. You know, if I came into that setting, if you came into that setting, what do you reckon the first words out of your mouth would be? Would it be like, hey, what are you doing here? What are you afraid of? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I've done? Man, you could have had this whole list. Why did you run away? Why did you abandon me? Why? Nah. Jesus doesn't come with any of that. According to John, it says Jesus came and stood amongst them and he said, peace. Peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and he showed them his side. And then it says the disciples were overjoyed. It's almost like there's this, you know, this explosive sense of celebration. But then Jesus says, peace. You know, it's not the trouble and it's not the exuberance. It's living in the reality of where we are with this sense of peace. An anchoring peace. A peace that is, here's another created word, that is simply okayness. Okayness. I'm okay. In the midst of whatever I'm experiencing, I'm okay. It's a new way of doing life. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. You can't give it, you can't take it away. It's different. It's this settled sense of well-being. Why? Because God's got this. If he can defeat death, if he can take apart everything that held us captive, if that's what the cross was about, what do we fear? What robs us of peace? And I know it's different for all of us, but what still can rob you of peace? What can rob me of peace? What sneaks in and all of a sudden unsettles me and takes that away? You know, the other thing, the second word is liberty. I love that Paul sort of writes in Galatians, he goes, it's for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, don't any longer be subject to any yoke of slavery, anything that would control you, make you small, fearful, timid, nothing that would cause you to shrink back. You've been given liberty. You know, the thing with liberty is it's not a liberty to indulge in the old way of being. It's not a liberty to just do as I see fit. It's liberty to live in everything that Jesus set us free for. And I love that Paul writes in the revelation that he had of Jesus that whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever's pure, whatever's right, whatever is lovely, let these things occupy your mind. Think on these things, dwell on these things. As I referenced before, Jesus said this, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I overcame the world. I overcame everything that could stand opposed to us. I overcame it all. You know, the truth is there, that the old is gone and the new has come. You know, when I look at those words, that to me, that color, everything that it says there is this explosion of life. I look at that and I go, man, if I could live in that, if I could live in the beauty, in the love, in the peace, in the hope, if like that word at the top that says life, if all those things defined the way I lived, gosh, freedom, peace, hope. You know, hope comes when we've got something that we are not just wishing for, but rather confident of. And this is what I love about Jesus. He says, you know what, I've prepared a place for you. I'm going, but I'm going to come back. He says, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have ever told you. That's what I love about Jesus. He goes, I'm not going to lie to you. Not going to lie. You know, I love the longing that Jesus seems to have for us to engage him, whatever it's going to take. It was right after the resurrection, right after Jesus visits with his friends. One of his friends, Thomas, isn't there, and Thomas is still living fearfully. And Jesus comes to Thomas a second time, or the disciples a second time when Thomas is with them. And he says this, Thomas, whatever it's going to take, believe in me, trust in me. If it's going to take you putting your fingers in the holes in my hands or your hand in my side, do it, Thomas. But just stop doubting and believe. Jesus has this yearning that he would enter into that hope, and hope that's not going to disappoint. I don't think when this is all said and done that we're going to come to a point that we look back and go, oh man, really? This is all there is? There's no way. The Bible says it hasn't even begun to enter into the heart of man what God has in store for those who love him. And if you have entered into that decision to respond to God's love and accept it and in turn love him, man, you can dream as big and as loud and as colorful as you ever want, and it won't enter into your mind the things he has in store for us. Oh, wow. Peace, liberty, hope. And they come together and there is this genuine sense of explosive joy. You know, that's what I hope in your living rooms or wherever you are, as we've joined together in this space, that you would find joy. We're in a world of sadness right now. We're in a world of hurt. But beyond all of it, there's joy. And I look forward to whatever it is ahead because I know that that Zoe life of Jesus Christ, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, quickens our mortal bodies, quickens you. We don't have to be living in this timid, shuttered, barred life. You don't have to get caught in that. I really look forward to whatever lies ahead because I know God has it. Whatever you're experiencing right now, I'm going to ask that you pray expectantly. God, may I know your joy. May I know peace. May I know liberty. May I know hope. But would you please let me see that with a new lens of joy? You know, it'd be pretty easy to look at the world through that old lens right now, wouldn't it? There's a lot of muck, a lot of grayscale. But all of that color, all of that beauty, all of that joy is what Jesus broke through the darkness for you, for me, for us, for our community, for our world. God so loved this world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him wouldn't have to be subject to death, but could enter into everlasting life. Now. Now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This is love. Not that we first loved God, but rather that he first loved us. Let me just close this morning in a word of prayer and a word of gratitude. Father Almighty, you who so loved us, and you invite us to know that love and respond to that love and love you in like kind with all of who we are, with everything. Lord, I pray that this Easter, as different as it is, that there would be joy, and a joy that is marked really with that peace, that liberty, that hope, a joy that is contagious, a joy that doesn't matter where we go and in this troubled world and the grocery stores or wherever, where people have this sense of angst, may our joy be contagious. Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.